Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome man.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill, yoga, knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and a fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps, episode 96, all the way from beautiful Viva Las Vegas. We're still here, been here since August 3rd, helping out Weidman, Marab, Mizuki, as well as our guy, Dennis Bazookia. So we're here, and we got another weekend of fights, and we actually have another guy coming in this weekend, September 12th, Matt Steamroller Favola, taking on the always tough, I keep wanting to call him Theodore Roosevelt, but Roosevelt Roberts is going to be a big fight. His teammate, training partner, that he started with down in Tampa. He's from Long Island, but went to school down in Florida. And he met a guy named Billy. Billy Q is actually fighting on this weekend's card as well. So it's going to be a fun event for them, for Florida's Florida guys, all their friends down there. And of course, everyone back home in Long Island. Billy's actually from upstate New York. Oh, shit. I completely forgot about that. I actually had to do this episode over because the camera wasn't recording. That happened to me last time, and I just could not do that again to you guys. So I had to make sure we started this all over and get back into it. But either way, we got some big fights coming up this weekend. But before we get into that, let's take a look at this week's show sponsor at DraftKings for all my people who love to gamble and win their fantasy sports. DraftKings. Now is the time to celebrate because football is finally back and DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy sports and it has millions of reasons of why you should be excited. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new users, that's new users, a free shot at $1 million top prize with a total of $3 million up for grabs this Thursday's football game. So getting in on Thursday's night's single game showdown is easy. All you have to do is download DraftKings using promo code FUNKMASTER from yours truly. Draft six players from the season opener. Stay under your salary cap. So if the cap is, let's say, $10,000, you have to stay under that per the players. So one player might be worth $1,000, $2,000, just giving you guys raw numbers. And you have to stay under that salary cap of $10,000 in order to make your team. So stay under the salary cap and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head to the app now and start making it rain. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using promo code FUNKMASTER will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. You have to make a deposit of $5 minimum. Just a quote, a little tidbit for you guys. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game like having a shot at a $1 million payday. Call to action. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code FUNKMASTER for a limited time. New users get a free shot at $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss the extra special week one bonus. Enter promo code FUNKMASTER to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code FUNKMASTER only at DraftKings.com. Let's make it rain. Now, remember, minimum of $5 is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. So let's get into it. Right now, we have our fight card coming up this week, headlined by Michelle Watterson and Angela Hill. But before that, I just want to give a big shout-out to Overeem, who looked spectacular against Augusto Sakai. That was a fun fight, and he took his time, probably gave up a couple of early rounds and came back eventually and got the takedown. We saw the takedown technique that he used, which was pretty incorrect in terms of wrestling standards. But if it works and you get from point A to point C by any means, as long as you got to point C, who gives a shit? And that's what Overeem did. He got to point C with starting in point A, did the little takedown thing. It's kind of like a ripoff or knockoff version of what we call the double twist in wrestling. So if I shoot in on my opponent and they sprawl, I'm like head to head facing the hip. So I'm shooting, I hit that wall, And in order for me to go, I have to cut the angle because now all their weight is free falling on my body and my body is holding them up as it's pressing all their hip weight and body weight into me. So in that position, if I step up with my outside leg, the same side that my head is on, I step up and I knee slide, which is kind of like a windshield wiper wizard with your feet. And my right leg does that windshield wiper motion and sits down. I crack down that outside, their left knee with my right hand. It pulls the weight that was now heavy on top of me to the side. And now they fall over and I'm in a much better position to finish my double because it changes the direction and trajectory of how your opponent is falling. And it gives a space. So we call it the double twist. I shoot in. I know I'm anticipating the sprawl. If I can't get it, I shoot in the first try. Boom. Step up. Cut that angle. And I crack down at your knee. Now you have no stability in that leg or take away the table, the peg leg from one of the, take away the one of the legs from the table. And now it allows that option for you to fall down on that side. Gives me more room to work with. So a lot of good stuff in that fight. And man, let's talk about his ground and pound. Because that man was looking beast. And we all know Overeem has a very slick guillotine choke. And we all know he has very good ground and pound. And for him to get on top and unleash the Demolition Man was fun to see. It kind of was very reminiscent of the older Overeem that we're vintage Overeem, as people would say. So good fight for him. I'm not sure if he's going to really be able to make a title run again, being at that top of that division is now clusterfucked with John Jones saying he's coming up to heavyweight, vacating his light heavyweight belt. So with that being said, you got John Jones. You got first, all due respect, you got Stipe. DC just retired, so that leaves a big void now. You have John Jones coming up. You have the number one contender who should be getting in the next shot in Francis Ngannou. I understand Stipe did beat him, but Ngannou has pretty much decimated everybody else on his way back to this position. So for him not to get the shot is kind of criminal, in my opinion. But the champ gets to call the shots for the most part. So we'll see what the UFC decides to do. But I am very fascinated by this. So we're gonna see what's gonna happen. So I'm not sure where does that leave room for Overeem per se. And we all know Junior Dos Santos, he just lost recently, so he lost to Yair Rozenstruik, and then you have Ngannou, who just put him away pretty impressively, put away Curtis Blaydes but he put him away impressively, and yeah, there's nobody else besides Ngannou, so I don't know what's going to really happen with that. And so again, for Overeem to get the next shot or to get a shot again before the UFC can't use him anymore, you know, before he takes another L, because if he takes another L, that's pretty much rap city, you know. So there's an opportunity for him if there's like an injury or something. We've seen weirder things happen. We look at Michael Bisping versus Luke Rockhold. Weidman got hurt. Enter Luke Rockhold, who gets the opportunity. And yeah, so this is the position that we're in right now. Well, that he's in right now. So we'll see what happens. So I'm very interested to see where the UFC matches Overeem up next. Maybe with JDS. That could be actually a fun fight. That division, I love the heavyweights, but man, that division is one of the oldest in terms of the total years of the average fighter right now. I mean, you got 40, you had DC who just retired, so that should bring the average down. Obviously, no disrespect to the DC, but to be competing at that level at that age is very, very impressive. You got Verdum. Also another older head. You got Stipe, who I believe is 37 now. So it is a technically older division. Like a guy like John Jones coming in at 33, that would add a lot more life and excitement from a guy who dominated and became the youngest light heavyweight champ in UFC history. All right, let's move on to this weekend's card. I believe this is UFC Vegas 10. Yes, UFC Vegas 10. A lot of fun fights. We have Barbarina back taking on Anthony Ivey. I'm not sure who Anthony Ivey is. He might be making his UFC debut. I'm taking a look. No, he fought Christian Aguilera. He lost with hooks in round 1, 59 seconds, but Barbarina is a tough out. So we'll see what happens with this one. I'm not really sure much about. I don't really know much about Anthony. See what other fun fights. Let's just get Matt Favola versus Roosevelt Roberts. Now, Roosevelt Roberts, very, very tough dude. 10-2. He is 26 years old. Wow. Lightweight, he's 6'2", fighting out of Florida, Miami, and taking on our guy, Steamroller, who is 5'9". So that's a big height difference. Steamroller's reach is 71 inches, and he is 30 years old with a record of 8-1-1. What was his... Now, Roberts, his reach is 73. He's long, lanky, which means he's going to have those skinny legs, which leaves a lot of opportunity for Favola to chop them down. Now, the one thing I will say is Roberts does a good job of taking his time with the striking and picking his opponents apart from the outside. So Steamroller is going to have to be all the way out or all the way in where he could utilize his Muay Thai knees, his clinch work with his elbows, those body lock takedowns that he liked to do. And from there, he could just kind of try to big body Roberts as best as he can. But to sit on the outside, and Roberts is not bad with the Muay Thai clinches either. So he's got good knees in there, especially with his height and his frame. So Favola's got to be on his P's and Q's for this one. I think the early approach of probably chopping down those legs early. Favola's thicker. He's shorter, more stout. I think for him to use that body weight of his legs and slamming it into the shins or the calves of, not the shins, the calves of Roberts is going to be a very, very helpful tool early in this fight. So I can see him trying to chop him down early and then blitzing him with that patented Favola style that he likes to do, where he's kind of like Tyson, where he's rocking one way, rocking the other way, and then throwing those big right hands and left hooks. But he's got to be careful because Roberts uses a lot of straights, a lot of jabs, long jabs, sits on the outside. He'll throw one strike, and he'll bounce out. And so he's going to try to touch up Favola from the outside and stay on his bike. And when the opportunity presents itself, try to open up with the strikes. So Favola has to be keen on that and utilize a lot of feints to try to draw out the attacks from Roberts. And from there, it's just going to be a high-level chess match. So I'm looking forward to that. Favola can't be sloppy with his takedowns because Roberts has a very slick high elbow guillotine. He has good ninja chokes. He has good chokes from that position. He has long limbs, skinny arms, so he's going to be able to slide his hand underneath the neck of Favola. So he has to just make sure he's just being very mindful of his entries and his takedown attempts. So that's going to be a very, very fun fight for the fans. We have Matt Schnell. He's coming back, taking on Tyson Nam. This should be a good one. Tyson Nam getting his first win over a guy making his debut also from New York. Tyson Nam is 36 years old. He's 5'7", reach of 68 inches. He beat Zarouk. Now taking on Matt Schnell. Very, very tough dude. What is Schnell? 30, who just had a newborn. He's 5'8", with a 72.5-inch reach. Now, with our DraftKings pick, Matt Schnell, where is he? Why is he not on this? Matt Schnell is $8,600 for your DraftKings salary, and Tyson Nam is $7,600. Now, Tyson Nam, I don't know how many knockouts he's got, but there's been a lot of finishes for Matt Schnell throughout his career, sprinkled in here and there, a lot of guillotine chokes. And the last guy he fought was Alexander Pantoja. He lost overhand right in the first round after being on a 4-5 win streak and on the cusp of a UFC title shot. Unfortunately, he got cut short due to that knockout loss to Pantoja. So a little setback, but if he could bounce back in the win column, this would be huge for him. Tyson Nam, if he can take out Matt Schnell, this would be huge for him. He's had nothing but a tough career all the way through. He's fought some of the best guys. He's knocked out Eduardo Dantes round one. He's fought a lot of dudes. Ali Bagatinov, he beat him, head kick, knockout round one. He was a big underdog in that one as well. He lost to Sergio Pettis, Kai Kato France, and he beat Zarouk. Now his opportunity to try to even up his win streak in the UFC at 2-2. Matt Schnell, once again, is $8,600 for his DraftKings salary, and Tyson Nam is $7,600. Billy Quarantello taking on Kyle Nelson. 145. I don't know much about Kyle Nelson. He's Canadian. He's 29 years old, 5'11", with a 71-inch reach. His last one was over Polo Reyes, round one, knockout punches. Okay. Before that, he lost to Matt Sales, arm triangle choke in round three. And he lost to Diego Ferreira, round two, and takedown and ground and pound. And before that, he won while on the regional circuit. Now, taking on his one, two, three, his fourth fight in the UFC in a very tough Billy Quarantello. Now, Billy, well, b- before we even move on from that, Kyle Nelson is $6,900 for his DraftKings lineup pick for his salary. And Billy Quarantillo is $9,300. Very, very surprising that he's this high, in my opinion. He's 14-2 in his record. He's 31 years old. 5'10", he's from Ransomville in New York, and he has a 70-inch reach, and he's 5'10". So, okay. So his last loss was to Michael Quiñones, head kick round one at Absolute Fighting Championship 25. That was back in 2016. But since then, he's rattled off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins, 7-fight win streak right now. His last one was a huge back-and-forth wild fight with Spike Carlisle. Tough first round. Came back, weathered the storm, and just put on a Fight of the Night candidate performance, and I believe he did get it. That was a fun fight. He landed a shit ton of strikes. Before that, he finished Jacob Kilburn. Before that, on the Contenders fight, Really? Motherfucker is calling me in the middle of my shit? Now I'm going to put on Do Not Disturb. Bitches. Camuela Kirk. Oh my God. Why is this doing this to me? I'm going to go airplane mode. Fuck. Camuela Kirk, round three, he got the finishes by punches, and that's what got him his contract into the UFC. So this is a tough fight. I think Billy, he's not the biggest featherweight out there, but he's tough. He's got a tall frame, but he doesn't walk around the heaviest. It says he's a lightweight, but I'm not sure what weight this one's going to be fighting at. Featherweight. This one is going to be a featherweight. So this is going to be a fun fight. Again, Billy's a tough dude. I don't know much about this Kyle Nelson guy. I haven't seen much out of him, so it's hard for me to really put any info on him. He's 13-3. I didn't see his last fight with Paulo Reyes, but, I mean, he got a knockout over him, and Paulo Reyes did knock out our boy in Steamroller. Just getting a little back history on him. But after he knocked out Steamroller, he then turned to get finished 3 times in a row. Punches, left cross punches. So sometimes you get lucky. That was a knockout loss for a Steamroller in his UFC debut. But one more time, Kyle Nelson, $6,900 for his salary. And Billy Quarantillo is $9,300. He's the second highest on this card. Next up, fun fight. Roxanne Modafari, she's a tough girl, veteran. She's been around forever, taking on Andrea Lee, KGB, something like that. I think it's her nickname. KGB. Oh, I got it right. 11-4 KGB with $8,900 salary cap. She's 31 years old, 5'6", with a reach of 69.5 inches. She's on a 2-fight losing streak. The last one to Lauren Murphy was a split decision, very close fight. Could have went either way, in my opinion. She lost a split decision to Joanne Calderwood. Could have went either way, in my opinion. She's been coming up short, and before that, she won 3 in the UFC over Veronica Macedo, Ashley Evans-Smith, Montella, Montana De La Rosa, and then she came up with these 2 split decision losses. So this would be a big way for her to get back in the win column. Roxanne Modafari, she is, where is my girl Roxanne? She's $7,300 on the DraftKings pick for her lineup. She's 24-17. She's been around forever. The Happy Warrior, 37 years old, 5'7 with a 69-inch reach. Now, she lost to Lauren Murphy, decision. She beat Macy Barber, decision. She lost to Jennifer Maya, decision, who's going to be getting the next title shot against Valentina Shevchenko. And she lost to Antonina. Oh, she beat Antonina Shevchenko, split decision. That was a fun fight, too. I forgot about that one. And she lost to Sajara Banks. She's fought everyone. Nico Montana, Sajara Eubanks. She's fought everyone. She's been on the Ultimate Fighter show, different promotions, Invicta. She's fought in Japan. And Strikeforce, King of the Cage. She's been everywhere. So this is a good fight. She's obviously a black belt. She excels on the ground. That was a nasty whistle. I don't know why that did that. Probably from my retainers, Invisalign retainers. But this is a very interesting fight because Andrea Lee, I think she's well-rounded. I don't think she's the toughest grappler, but she does pretty well with holding position. I can see Roxanne setting up back attacks from her back if she does get taken down, or Roxanne trying to push forward and get the fight to the ground sooner rather than later. I do think Andre Lee definitely has the better striking, so we're going to see who can impose their will early on in this fight and kind of set the tone. Both of them have some common opponents. Andrea Lee losing two split decisions to some girls, tough opponents. And the thing about Roxanne, she trains with Joanne Calderwood. So Joanne Calderwood fought Andrea Lee. So this she's more than likely getting some good inside information on her opponent coming up. This next one, comma worthy. His last fight was very worthy. 16-6, the Death Star, 33 years old. Got a nasty finish. He's 5'11 with a 74-inch reach. I kind of call him Dao Zim because he's got these long, dangly arms that are just like, who got flame? Who got flame? 16-6, 7-fight win streak. His last fight went over Luis Pena, fight that was going back and forth. I thought Pena could have was going to win the fight, and then eventually gets caught in a guillotine choke, shot the wrong way, and didn't set it up where he could get his legs to the outside, and ended up in a guillotine that ultimately saw him tap. Now, his opponent, Adaman Azatar, I saw him the other day. I'm not really sure. I don't know much about him. He's undefeated, though, 12-0. 30 years old, 71-inch reach, and he's 5'8", training out of Cologne, Germany. Oh, born in Cologne, Germany. I don't know if this is accurate. I'm getting my information from Tapology, so it may or may not be. Yeah, is he the Sultan? I thought he was a Sultan. No, he's the Bulldozer. At least that's what it says here. So his last fight, he fought Timu Pakalin, overhand right, knocked him out in the first round, Kokora. And, oh, before that was his UFC debut. Got a finish, and I believe that was in Abu Dhabi, Khabib versus Dustin Poirier. So we're going to see how he does with this one. I'm not really sure what to make of him. He's fought on the regional circuit, got 11 wins, a bunch of finishes. Let's see. This one just says win. His first pro fight was just says win. Then he has a finish, guillotine, KO, punches, decision, KO, kick, punches, overhand right. So he is a true finisher, and he is coming in. I'm surprised he's low on his card. Wow, he's 7,700. I guess people think Kama Worthy is going to be a much tougher fight for him. So probably not going to get the finish, because Kama Worthy is $8,500 for his draft, for the draft pick lineup. And Azatar is 70. What did I say he was? 7,700. So this is a very interesting fight. I'm not exactly sure what to. I guess when they don't make the, like, if he was fighting more of a scrub, I mean, to call a fighter a scrub is kind of harsh. But even if they're not the best, I never really talk about a fighter like that. Like, oh, he sucks. I don't really do that. But if anyone who could get there and get to the UFC has to be somewhat talented in some regards, to some point or degree, some shape or form. So for me, if he was fighting someone on, like, maybe a debut guy who was squeaking by some wins and people saw that, so I guess they would give a guy like Atman more points or a higher salary cap, as opposed to him fighting tougher competition, because the odds of him finishing the fight are probably significantly lower. So they're like, well, we have to make this a little bit easier or a little cheaper for people to use for their pick, because it wouldn't be right if there's no way that that guy, or not no way, but a much lesser chance for that guy to finish the fight. I have no idea. I'm just rambling right now, but whatever. And, of course, we got our main event. Michelle Waterson taking on Angela Hill. Michelle Waterson is coming in at 8,000 for her DraftKings salary, and Angela Hill's coming at 8,200. Let's take a look at Michelle Waterson. She's 17-8, the karate hottie, 34 years old, 5'3", 62-inch reach. I do wish DraftKings gave you a breakdown percentage of how they, like, the percentages of them finishing a fight, kind of like Sherdog does. It'll make it a lot easier to see. It says how many they got if you scroll down, but that's just a lot to do. If it was just right there on the screen, like, that would make it so much easier to rattle off stats, so you guys would have a little bit more. But she has 5 decisions, 3 KOs, 9 submissions. At least that's what the thing is saying. I guess I could just scroll down, but then there's more time with my eyes off the camera. So her last fight, I believe she lost. Yes, to Carla Esparza, split decision, and she lost to Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and which I thought was pretty one-sided as it could get. She was doing some good stuff, but it didn't look like it was super damaging or highly effective against Joanna, mainly because of the size difference, in my opinion. I just felt Joanna just looked more physically imposing, was kind of being the bully in there and pushing her around. And I do think this fight with Angela Hill, who's not the biggest strawweight, I think this is going to make it a little bit more competitive in that regard. Because the stuff, like, I feel like she was trying for takedowns, but she couldn't get it because she just didn't have the firepower behind it to get the fight where she wanted it to go. And I'm not, you know, obviously she had the skill set. She's beat a lot of tough girls. She beat Carolina Coles-Kaswick, which is saying something. She beat Felice Herrick, who is pretty strong. And she beat Courtney Casey. So it just leaves you with this kind of like everyone at the top of the division, which is like Joanna, Valentina Shevchenko, Zhang Weili, and then it's like just everybody else. So the girls are fighting to get to that next tier to be considered in that pact. And then it's up to them to try to turn over the ship and surpass the people who've been holding the top three, top five rankings of their division for years and years and years at this point. So this is a tough fight. Michelle Waterson, she seems to fight more on the outside, side kicks, outside leg kicks. She's not, and she's got a good, she can get the fight to the ground. I will say I would like to see her try to open it up with the hands a little bit more. I think she sometimes could be a little bit more reserved, and I think she has better boxing than she might think. And again, it might be the thing with the power where she doesn't want to sit there and trade and possibly get cracked, where she can sit on the outside, pick her shots. But I think sometimes she tends to, what we call, you know, jokingly, we call it shadow boxing, where it's just like you're out there throwing strikes with no real intention of hitting a person. You're just kind of just doing something like that. And I feel like her fight with Carla Esparza was very much like that until she got the fight down to the ground, or Carla got the fight down to the ground. That was a very interesting fight if you guys want to rewatch that one. So I'm not sure what the approach is going to be exactly, but she's taking on Angela Hill, which we already said, who is 12-8, pretty much grew up in the UFC. She came into the UFC on the Ultimate Fighter with a record of like, what is it, the Ultimate Fighter Finale Season 1. She only had 2 fights, Lion Fight, Muay Thai Bout, and USFFC 18. She got a win, KO, round 2, and she had an exhibition bout. She lost to Carla Esparza. She beat Emily Kagan. And she lost to Tisha Torres and Rose Namajunas, got released, went to Invicta. So she came into the UFC pretty much, where's the record, 1-0. It's kind of crazy. So she pretty much grew up in the UFC, had a couple fights in Invicta. Let's see how many fights in Invicta. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 fights in Invicta, won all 4. Alita Gray, Stephanie Egnick, Salza Medeiros, and lost to Jessica Andrade, taking a short notice fight, and she went the distance with Jessica Andrade, which is saying a lot. Beat Ashley Yoder, lost to Nina Asaroff, who's a tough girl, was on probably one shot away if she had beaten Tatiana Soros to get the next title shot at 115 as well. Courtney Casey, Ronda Marcos, Jody Escobel. So she's been up and down, but now she won 3 fights in a row. And then lost to Claudia Cardales in a split decision, which a fight I did think that Angela Hill won, but that's neither here nor there because I'm not a judge. But again, Angela Hill is 8,200 for the DraftKings lineup, and Michelle Waterson is 8,000. So pick wisely, and may the odds forever be in your favor. Outside of that, man, I got a couple of things coming up. Just really just doing training right here in Vegas. I'm trying to figure out how everything works. I did some rolling with some tough guys yesterday at 10th Planet with Coach Casey. That was fun to do. I'm glad he let me come down there a couple of times now, get some work in. It's just been good, man. Everyone's probably pretty much been open arms. So I just want to make sure which gyms are okay with us training there so that I'm not stepping on anybody's toes or making anybody uncomfortable, like a potential opponent that might fight me or might fight Marab or might fight one of my guys down in the future. You know, it's just weird getting close with another team like that and then potentially having to back away because they might be fighting your boy who you kind of grew up with through the ranks. At least I did, with Ally Quinta and all those other guys, you know. So it could be a little weird, but as of right now, things are so far so good. Everyone's been open arms. The guys are right now training at Syndicate MMA. I'm about to head out in a couple minutes to go pick those guys out. I've been hitting strength and conditioning twice a week for the last 3 weeks. This week is a little weird because of Labor Day. Yesterday was my lift day, which would have been Monday. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I might lift tomorrow morning and then possibly Saturday, just so I can still keep that spread of some days in between and just get some high-level work in. I might be going down to Extreme Couture today to get some sparring in. I don't really want to get punched in the head, but I got to do something. And since we're not lifting, that would do. And I'm going to try to control it, make it more grappling than anything, so that it's safer for everybody. You know, if I don't have a fight, I might not be potentially fighting until December. I don't need to be getting punched in the head every day or getting punched in the head twice a week, three times a week. So this might be my only sparring for the week, and then figuring it out from there. I might just try to figure out some pad work or something, maybe just some drilling, which I'm more than okay with. I think it's more about longevity. My neck's still bugging me a lot, so I got the PT guys helping me over there at the PI. Heather's been great. Tara's been great. Bobby's been great. And, yeah, that's really it. I'm hoping we went to Lake Las Vegas, did, like, the water park thing where we're running around, jumping on stuff. That was actually pretty fun, playing tag. We had some random people jump in with us that wanted to play. That was really fun, so we got to meet some cool people. And after that, we just got some drinks, went back. This was all last week. And now it's Labor Day weekend here. Well, it was. And it's a fascinating week because normally the ambiance and the allure that people would love about Vegas is the fact that you could come here, Sin City, you could do whatever you want. You're looking for sex, you're looking for drugs, you're looking for the love of your life, you want to get married, you want to go skydiving, you want to go in a helicopter, you want to go shoot some freaking guns, go-karting, ATVs, the water parks, hiking. There's so much to do here. And then on top of that, the nightlife is so fun. But with the COVID, normally you can just get up, wake up late, middle of the night, hey man, let's go hit this 24-hour bar, and it's going to be lit. Now, you have to make all these reservations ahead of time. The reservations are like $1,500 minimum on a weekend like this. Usually it's like $500, maybe $1,000, which is still steep. I'm not saying like it's cheap, but I'm just saying like if you want to do something, it's not like before where you can just get up and go and be like, all right, we're Gucci. There's something we could do at any time of the day. Now it's like, damn, dog, like, if we don't make these reservations, we can't just get up and go figure it out. At that point, we're just getting up to go walk the strip and hopefully find food that might be open or that's not at capacity, and we'll be able to accommodate you and your party. So it's a very strange time, and these guys have been here. Some of them is their first time in Vegas, and they're not getting the full experience, which kind of sucks because I've been here my first time when I was in college. I didn't get to go anywhere because I was underage, but we walked around, walked the strip and stuff like that, just kind of feel the vibes of Vegas. And I don't do drugs. I'm at most I smoke some weed here and there. I drink alcohol, which is probably worse for you than smoking, in my personal opinion, as long as you're not smoking like those tobacco roll-ups and shit like that. That's bad for you. But that's where I'm at with everything. So I don't do those hardcore things like that. So it was never a place for me. It was like, yo, let's go get fucked up, bro. Nah, I'm not like that. You want to go get a drink? You want to go get weird? That's weird. I guess would be considered with the other drugs. But if you want to go get shitty, let's go get shitty with a couple of tequila shots, a couple of Henrock shots. We don't gotta mix it, but we can whoop. But it is what it is. We're gonna figure out what else we're gonna do out here. It's just unfortunate these guys did not get the experience to just kind of just walk around, get up at any time of the day and just go have some fun, man, go meet some people, whatever. Obviously fighting has been fortunate for me where I've got to meet a ton of people just because of my line of work. So yeah. Other than that, what else we got today? I think that's it. But before we go, just one more time, just to let you guys know, football season is back this Thursday. So go check those guys out at DraftKings.com for your chance to win $1 million for the number one leader in one day fantasy sports. Getting in on Thursday night single game showdown is easy. All you have to do is download DraftKings using promo code FUNKMASTER. Draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. So head on over to the app now to start making it rain. Plus, new users who sign up today on DraftKings using promo code FUNKMASTER will receive a free shot at the $1 million top prize for your first deposit. Minimum $5 required for your deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. Call to action. Download the DraftKings app now. Use for promo code FUNKMASTER for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter promo code FUNKMASTER and get your free shot at $1 million. Go check those guys out, DraftKings.com, and tell them that the Funk sent you. And go win some goddamn money, because that's what we do. All we do is win, 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 no matter what. I'm like a squirrel just looking for a nut. Obviously not, you know, I got a girl. But yo, I'm going to holler at you guys later. Thanks for tuning in. If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. Hit that like button. I'll see you guys later. I'm about to go get these guys before they get all pissy that I'm not coming to pick them up and I have them waiting for too long, like they had me waiting at the PI today for them. All right. As always, you like my shit, subscribe to my shit, or spin it back fist, baby. Boom. I'll see you guys later. Peace.